Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's time once again to meet our community, the Hispanic business community here in Orange County, powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine, with the man we often call Mr. Orange County.
Thank you, Mr. Paul Roberts, and thank you all again for tuning in to our community podcast show powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. I'm your host, John Gutierrez, Senior Vice President here, and with us today, we have another young superstar boxer who grew up in Santana, also my hometown, and we're very proud of him, of everything he's done. He's the WBO NABO champion. Of course, he's promoted and supported by Golden Boy Promotions. He's a professional boxer, as we mentioned. His record of 25 wins, only 2 losses, and 16 wins by KO. And again, he was born and raised in Santana, Mr. Alexis Rocha.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
And the other thing we forgot to add here is that you're an analyst also. Right?
Yeah, I'm an analyst too.
Yes, boxing analyst.
I do some commentary on the side as well.
Yes,
that's Golden Boy.
That's awesome, because that could be something down the way.
Yeah.
Your career, right?
Yeah, something definitely interested after my career. It's something that I enjoy, first and foremost. I enjoy doing it, and then I think I'm all right at it. I'm pretty decent. I give you my 2 cents when it comes to breaking down some fights.
That's good. I'm sure there's more to what meets the eye, right?
Yeah.
Paul Roberts, yes, sir.
You got to shout out the elephant in the room. What is this monstrous thing that's this big, huge belt that's sitting in front of us here?
So this past Saturday, I competed at Fantasy Springs, Indio, California. I won the WBO, NABO World Championship. I took on a undefeated fighter in Santiago Dominguez. I beat him unanimous decision. And yeah, this is my new belt.
And
right
WBO
here.
Is the World Boxing Organization. What is NABO?
NABO, yeah. I believe it's Northern American Boxing Organization, or
whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever.
That's pretty cool.
And let me hold it. I had to use 2 hands to hold it. That is a heavy belt.
Yeah, it's a heavy belt. Yeah.
I saw him bringing it in, the really nice holder there, and I could tell he kept switching his hands. Like, this thing is heavy, right?
Yeah, it's pretty heavy.
Which is, hey, you know what? That's what it's about. If you're going to do all that training and hard work, right? Can you elaborate a little bit about how tough it is to prepare for a fight?
Yeah, it's extremely difficult. If there's a saying, if it was easy, everyone would be doing it. But this is a very challenging and tough sport where it takes not just physical strength, a lot of mental strength as well. And I believe it's a lot more mental strength than physical. The physical side, yeah, you have to wake up early in the morning. You got to put in your road work. You have to run countless miles. You got to go to the gym, lift weights, doing explosive drills just to get physically sharp and on that aspect. And then you got to practice in the boxing gym where you go 3 hours a day, where you have to work out, spar, hit the mitts, hit the punching bags, and you have to get all that, breaking it down. And you physically, you're beating yourself up. You get these injuries, you get these little aches, you get these pains. And then also from that, you got to build with the mental stuff, with all the pressure that's going on behind the fighter, behind the scenes, whether it's whatever issues you got going on, whatever. There's just so much that goes into just a preparation and a training camp.
Is it more mental than physical? At some level, you guys have trained. You're all great athletes. You're all powerful, react quickly and everything. You've all got some skills or you wouldn't be there. What's that 2% that makes the difference between a champ and a loser? not a champion. Not a loser, but, a winner and a not winner, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, it's the mental. So that's the mental side of the sport. Mentally, you have to tell yourself, do I want this? Do I got to go in? What do I have to do to go in there and beat this guy? Because that's what separates your mindset from the winner's mindset from a loser's mindset. The winners finds a way to win. The losers find a way to lose. And that's a really good saying. And it's just, that shows you the mentality side of how boxers can go get victories and keep winning and progressing and evolving into become a world champion one day.
Real quick, let's rewind back and share a little bit about the story of how you ended up becoming a boxer. If you don't mind sharing with us a little bit about that. I know the story. Many of you that may be watching don't know the story, but it's a very unique and inspirational story how you ended up becoming a boxer.
Yeah, it is. It's very funny how I got here, because I never liked boxing. I didn't like any sports growing up. Growing up, I was a very overweight kid. very non-athletic.
You were an over. I can't even picture that. You were an overweight kid. Right?
I'll show you pictures.
Couch potato. Just, you know.
Exactly. I was playing video games and just eating food. That's all I was doing. Did no activity whatsoever. When I was 11 years old, I weighed 205 pounds, close to 210 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah, but during this time, too, I was starting to form very high cholesterol, and the doctors told me I'm very close to getting diabetes, to diabetes, and that scared the crap out of me. And then from there, my brothers, Ronnie Rios and Salvador Rios, were going to the boxing gym, and they were competing, and I started following them I started following their steps and just going to the gym mainly to lose weight. And within 5 to 6 months, I lost about 65 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah. My coach, Hector Lopez, saw something in me during this whole time. Same coach as today.
Man, shout out to Coach Hector,
Lopez? Shout out to Coach Hector, yeah.
Wow. Definitely. So he's been with you all this time.
Yeah. We've been with each other's sides through the good, through the bad, through you name it.
There's a really cool video that went viral in TikTok. Right, where he gets in you at the fight, and he's, you better. I don't want to go through what he says, but it's a really cool, inspirational video. When you watch it, it's really like a life lesson video, right?
Yeah, it is. You could apply that not just in boxing, you could apply that in an everyday life, in an everyday world, whatever you may be doing.
He's got that fire.
Yo, he's got so much fire in him. Yeah, that man is driven. That man wants to train us to be a world champion.
And is he also from Santa Ana?
Yeah, he's from Santa Ana. That's actually him calling me right now.
Does he not know you're on the show?
He's trying to give you some hints again from the side, though.
Yeah,
I'm sure,
he heard his ears ringing, so he wanted to call me.
Hey, Coach, we want to thank you for what you're doing, not only for Alexis, but I'm sure other kids at TKO Boxing. That was something we talked about earlier. What a great nonprofit organization TKO Boxing is, with Miss Mary Lara. Shout out to her, man.
Shout out to Mary too. Yes, she's been there the whole time the gym's been open. Yeah, Mary does a lot behind the scenes, and we're the reason why the club is good as it is right now is because of her, because everything she does behind the scenes, the way she pushes us, promotes us and everything. So thank you, Mary. Appreciate all the support you've done throughout the years since I was 12 years old.
Anybody listening out there and watching the show, TKO Boxing is in the heart of Santa Ana, in the same place as the Jerome Center. And it's just a great boxing nonprofit organization. So if any of you ever wish to support, obviously, Alexis and sponsoring him in his fights or supporting TKO Boxing, please, you could find Alexis Rocha on his Instagram. He has lots of followers there, or probably also contact TKO Boxing, right?
Yeah, if you guys are willing to support me throughout my career, or just one fight, whatever it may be, I would really appreciate it. I'm very appreciative and grateful for every sponsor that I have right now. But you could reach out to me at AlexisRocha777 on Instagram.
Any call out? Let's do some call outs to some of your current sponsors here. Give me a little shout out here.
To my sponsors?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I got so many sponsors.
He's got lots.
Obviously,
his big one is Golden Boy Promotions, right?
My promotional company.
That's your promotional company.
That's my promotional company. They're the ones I'm under contract with, and they're the ones that provide me the fights, and they're the ones that pay me as well.
You became a boxer under that organization how long ago?
When I first turned professional.
When
I first turned professional, I signed a multi-year deal with them when I was 18 years old, fresh out of high school.
Really?
Fresh out of high school, I signed with them, and they've been believing in me since day one, and they still believe in me till this day, so I'm very thankful for
everyone. What's amazing is Golden Boy Productions once tried to sign John Gutierrez, but he just didn't have the heart, eye of the tiger.
Eye of the tiger, no.
First of all, I got to say, I give a lot of respect to the fighters, because boxers, obviously, is because the mindset, like you said, to be able to... I grew up playing football, I was... in sports myself.
Yeah.
We prepare before the big game. I was a running back, so I knew most of the game. I was going to be carrying the ball. I knew I was going to get hit a lot.
Yeah.
The pressure is on me to score touchdowns, to win the game. Your whole team's blocking. There's a mindset that you cannot fumble. You cannot, you have to come through, right? So I can imagine as a boxer, you're by yourself.
Yeah, you're by yourself.
You're not a whole team. You're by yourself. What is that? Just the mindset going into a fight?
It was his fault. He didn't block, or his fault. Yeah. He didn't throw the ball to me.
Yeah. You're all by yourself. What is that?
Yeah, it's a one player game. Boxing ain't a game. It's a sport. It's a brutal sport.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you're making that ring walk, it's one of the loneliest feelings you'll feel, because you're literally heading into so-called a war, or so-called, they call us modern day gladiators, because we risk it on the line, and you can get hurt. You can get seriously hurt.
So you feel that, huh? When you're walking down to the ring, there's like this, so you, everything, even though you're hearing everything and enjoying or whatever the walk, but you're like focused on your fight. So you're like lonely, huh?
Yeah. It's
tunnel vision.
Yeah.
Huh?
You feel lonely, especially in that ring when no one's around you and all your team goes out the wind, all your team gets out the ring, and then you just look in lock eyes with your opponent. It's just you two and the ref. And that's what's separating you guys from going to war. And then he says, he looks at each fighter and he says, are you ready? And he looks at the fighter, are you ready? And then the bell rings and then you go to war. Well, not war, but you go into a battle.
And I guess at that point, probably you're thinking everything your coach, right, has been like on this fight. This is the game plan, right? In football, we had a game plan for the game. We're playing this team, they pass the ball more. This is the game plan. We're playing this team, they run the ball more. This is the game. So for you at that minute, are you thinking of the game plan?
Yeah, 100% you're thinking of the game plan.
Okay.
Let me go back to that. You do feel lonely because you're in there by yourself. But throughout the weeks and the training, it's kind of cliche, but you're not alone because you have your team.
Of course.
Even though your team's not fighting there with you.
Of course.
The objective is you guys are all the team, and whatever they see in the ring, they're helping you out. So in a sense, you're not really that alone, because they give you the pointers. They have different eyes. I have different coaches: Hector Lopez, Cesar Campos, Robert Villasenor, Brian Pinzon, Jose Correa. I have Robert Mendoza. I have so much a part of my team that they help me, and they're there.
Famous quote of Mike Tyson: everybody has a plan until you get hit in the face.
That quote is 100% true.
So how do you hold on to the plan? True. How do you hold on to all these things when they suddenly, at first awakening, rude awakening, I just got hit in the face?
That takes so much discipline, takes so much heart, takes so much bravery, concentration. When you're getting punched in the face and you have to stick to the game plan, he couldn't have said it any better, because that happened to an instant, my last loss. I had a specific game plan for this type of fighter, knowing the fact that he's going to come out really aggressive and being pretty much in my face. And I knew that he wasn't going to back down as soon as I started training back with him. The first round rings for the bell. He comes at me. I knew it. I was sticking to my game plan. What happens? I get hit with a straight left hand that breaks my nose. Blood starts to run down my face. Jeez. Starts going everywhere in my mouth and my eyes and my nose. Obviously, my nose.
Hard to breathe, obviously.
It's hard to breathe. And that quote, everyone has a game plan until they get hit, and that's 100% exactly what happened. I got hit. My game plan flew out the window. So what did I want to do? I wanted instantly just start training with them, and I fell into his game plan.
Yeah.
Right.
I know what it's like. My nose was broken, actually, in a fight, and I know the feeling. It's the swelling.
The swelling.
You can't see your eye. It actually blocks your eyes. Like you can't breathe. I know
whatsoever.
What it's like. It's almost like
blood's going down your mouth.
It's almost like somebody puts you under the pool.
Yeah.
That's the feeling I can compare it to.
Yeah.
And you can't breathe, and you got to figure out how not to drown while you're under the water.
Yeah.
And survive. Like survival mode, right?
Yeah. You're basically in survival mode, but you have to calm yourself. You have to, like I said, you have to have the discipline. You have to have the heart. It takes so much. You have to have the focus to not drown, to get out of that and start swimming, and to go back to land where you have to get back on the even playing field with your opponent.
I've always said when I watch these fights that I have two boys myself, right? And I've always said how difficult it must be for your family, like your mother, your family. To see you at that point, let's say in that fight, right? You get hit, your nose is broken, you're bleeding. What's that been like for your family? Obviously, your brother's a fighter and all that, but like your mom or your family, that's tough, right?
Oh, yeah, it's tough. My mom, she sees me. She doesn't like seeing me getting bruised up, getting marked up and everything. It's a mess. And then my brothers, after my loss, they cried with me. My girlfriend, she was just in tears the whole night. That just shows you that they're there with you no matter what, through the good, through the highs and through the lows. They're with you no matter what, and I'm very appreciative and couldn't ask for a better family. And
so, somebody once tweeted in a question here, you've won, looking at your record, what is it, 26?
25 wins.
And you've only lost twice. Do you lose Do you learn more from winning or losing?
From your losses, I would say. Obviously, when you win, you could learn. But when stuff hits the fan, when stuff gets really real, when you look back at your losses, that's when you learn the most. I could have done this. I was doing this good. I should have done this even better.
Because when you're winning, you think, I've got it. I figured it out. I'm unstoppable. Whatever.
Yeah, you don't want to have that mindset. You don't want to have that. I'm winning. There's nothing to gain from this, because as a fighter, you're always improving, whether it's losing or whether it's winning. You're always going to improve no matter what. And the day you don't improve, then that's the day you should stop.
I got to tell you, I was at the fight when you fought at the Honda Center.
Yeah. Three years ago.
Yes. And what was that like for you to fight literally in your backyard?
Yeah.
That must have been pretty unique, right?
It was amazing. An amazing feeling. So going back to another question, like the pressure.
Yes.
That was my second time. I believe 3 years ago was the second time I fought the Honda Center. The first time I fought there was in 2020, right before the pandemic.
Mm.
As I walked out, that was the biggest crowd I ever had, because it's in Anaheim, which is down the street from Santa Ana. I remember when I heard everyone, I just went in a little shell, because
I'm wondering if I went to that one or the other one then.
Ryan Garcia was the main event for the first one. Jaime Munguia was the co-main event the second time I fought.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah.
Man, the whole pandemic has me all turned around.
Yeah, exactly.
But you said that first time was
unexpected for me, and to hear everyone, it got me pumped up, but it also put me in a little shell. The fact that I never had that much people there for me to support me, it felt like I was almost the main event that night because of how much support I was getting. And I was like a little timid. I was like, damn, like these people are all here for me and stuff. And I got very shy. I got a little gun shy, as people say, as a boxer say. And then the second time was the same thing, but this time I embraced it more. I was more I was more comfortable with the people there. And
been there, done that kind of a thing.
Yeah, so I was like, all right, I'm used to having all this attention on me, these eyes on me, and the fans here supporting my name and roaring. So it's just a learning experience, really.
What would you say to one of those little boys or little girls or in the stands that are watching you at the Honda Center that are thinking of pursuing this, I don't know, career or dream? What would
don't
you
do
say
it.
To them?
No, I'm just kidding.
Don't do it.
No, I'm just kidding.
You're like, go to school.
Go to school.
Get an education, right?
Yeah. First thing I'm going to tell them when I ever have kids, I'm going to say, you're not fighting. You're not going to be a fighter. You're not going to be like your dad.
You sound like my wife with me and my boys. You better not tell them to play football. And then first thing my oldest son does is, Dad, I want to play football.
Yeah.
Going into his freshman year in high school.
Oh,
and I'm like, you know what? Your mom's going to kill me.
Yeah, she's going to kill me.
Like, my wife's going to kill me. So you wouldn't want your children, huh? Maybe. I get a feeling once you have a little boy, man, you're going to have him in there in the ring with you.
I'm going to take him to the boxing gym.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to take him to the boxing gym and just learn some self-defense, because kids want to test you nowadays, especially not, nowadays. Little kids are cruel and violent, but I want to take my kid to just pick up some skills and just to learn the fundamentals of boxing. And I'm going to tell him, hey, you cannot do this outside the boxing ring. You can't. Only if you ever need to defend yourself, and hopefully you don't ever, and it doesn't have to go that route. But you're gonna have some tools just like your dad.
So let me ask your opinion about this. I was watching the Jake Paul fight this weekend with my nephews there.
Yeah.
It was this past weekend.
Yeah, it was past weekend, yeah.
Yeah. Also. There was a lot going on, right?
Yeah.
And I was wondering, what do you think of stuff like that too, yourself?
As in like the Jake Paul, the YouTuber kind of?
It's more entertainment, right? It's not, is it? Or is it not boxing? I don't get it.
I'm 50-50 with it, 50-50 against it. Why I'm against it is because you're basically getting some guy who's never dedicated his entire life to this. I've been dedicating my life to this as 12 years old. So it's 15 years now of me day in and day out, blood, sweat, and tears. And I'm not saying Jake Paul is not the same, because he doesn't dedicate himself or doesn't work hard. I'm just saying, for him to be a whatever he was back then, he was a YouTuber or whatever.
But it's become more like entertainment. It's very
exactly.
Interesting, right? And obviously it makes a lot of money.
Yeah.
And it works and it's paying off. But it's more about the entertainment, right?
Entertainment. And that's why I'm 50% with it, because it's entertainment. It brings different eyes into the crowd. So now you got YouTubers or little kids or whatever, businesses. Imagine they show up to the fights and they see the undercard fighters and they're like, damn, this kid knows how to box, who's actually a boxer. Let me support this guy and keep watching him. That's all it takes. That's all it takes is
one of the things that I don't want to get into details into, but I noticed that when they're more of entertainment fights, and I don't want to just say him, but other ones that have been on, it's almost like they're brawling. And I've noticed, and you would know this better than I would because you're a professional boxer, there's a lot of hitting behind the back. Back of the head shots. And that's not in boxing. That's not allowed.
Those are called the rabbit punches.
Right. And that's dangerous.
Very dangerous.
So the fact that in these entertainment fights, they're allowing it. I kept telling my wife and other, man, that guy can get killed.
Yeah.
He's hitting him in the back of the head. And that's not boxing. You know what I mean? Even though it's fun and entertainment, I get it. And that's dangerous for the other guy getting hit.
Yeah. That's the referee's fault for letting it happen. Because referee is not a new person. It's a guy who's going to have an experience under his belt with refereeing hundreds of fights. It really comes down to the referee paying attention and calling those illegal blows or called rabbit punches.
Yeah. I didn't ever knew that was what it was called. Rabbit punches.
So what is this? Somebody else tweeted in. So what's the difference between, in your opinion, a boxer and a fighter or a brawler? And I think of my own limited boxing knowledge. I remember when Muhammad Ali hit the scenes, there was a lot of criticism initially because he danced. He moved around. He didn't just stand there and take the punch and
bash. Well, he was, in essence, entertainment also, right? It was a little bit of something they'd never
seen.
He
was avoiding the punches. He wasn't just standing there trading blows. He was there moving around and stuff here. And I don't think a lot of boxers had done that before him. I don't know if that's true or not. But And then there are guys like Mike Tyson, who seems more like a street brawler. He just stands there and pounds the guy.
Yeah, in boxing, there's a lot of types of fighters, I want to say. There's brawlers, there's boxers who dance on their feet just like Muhammad Ali, brawlers like Mike Tyson, and it just comes down to what style do you like. Mm-hmm. A lot of people love Mike Tyson because he was out there, and that's the entertainment side where he was knocking out people, and that's entertainment. People want to see knockouts. That's going to put butts to seats is knockouts and good fights like that. Boxers, if you're...
They win on points.
There's something to admire about them because they hit people and they do not get hit back. A good instance is Floyd Mayweather. People hated him, the way he boxed, but also because he was a trash talker. But what did that do? That opened up a lot more entertainment because he backed it up and people tuned in to see him lose. He talked a lot, but he talked the talk and he walked the walk.
It's funny you say that because I didn't want to bring him up, but my brother was a big fan of Mayweather. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't stand Mayweather. So we would watch these family fights. And I would be like, bro, this is a boring fight. He's on his bike. He's running around.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is not what we paid for. We want to see a fight. And my brother's like, you don't understand. He's getting points and he's jabbing. And then every round he was winning. And he was winning.
He was winning, yeah.
And you're just like, but entertainment-wise, it wasn't for me as entertaining as it was to my brother.
Because you want
to
see the knockout, right?
Yeah, I want to see, like you said, Paul, like a good, because we grew up also watching Mike Tyson, right? These knockouts, right? And Mayweather obviously went undefeated, won all these fights, and people were like, yeah, but they were boring fights. But he made a lot of money. What formula works for certain people may not work for others,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah, and that's what you got to...
Are you more the fight? I see you on your thing here. You got 16 knockouts. Yeah. Are you the guy that stands...
He's knocking people out, Paul. Come on now. He's not Mayweather running around.
Not just finesse running around. Right.
Yeah, come to fight. I have a fan-friendly style, and that's why I think it draws a lot of people.
A fan-friendly style? What does that mean?
Fan-friendly.
You put people on their butt.
Yeah.
Butts on seats. Fan-friendly style. I'm going to knock you out, is what he's saying. Yeah. I'm going to knock you out.
Come entertain.
Do you feel that's something that grew in you within time? Is it something that Coach Hector was able to bring out in you? Where did you find that killer instinct?
I think it's whether you have it or you don't. I think people could train for it to be more aggressive, but it really comes down to if you have it or not. And luckily, I was born to, God bless me, to have that killer instinct when I step in that ring.
But I got to say, you're great at body shots.
Yeah, body shots.
I've seen that. You work the body.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
You're like a little Cesar Chavez, man.
Yeah, I love working the body.
You grow up watching him also?
Cesar Chavez?
I know you're much younger than his generation.
I grew up watching Chavez. Yeah, I grew up
a lot of the
Chavez.
Body, right?
Yeah, a lot of body shots.
Wow.
Yeah, that's key in boxing. I think body shots are very key. Not that many people use it, and that's a good way of slowing your opponent down. And as if for fans that don't know, body shots hurt 10 times more than headshots.
Oh, let me tell you, I got hit once in football. in the ribs. And after that, I went and bought me a new pair of rib pads.
Yeah.
As a running back, I never wore rib pads. I was always like, I got this. I could juke people. I could.
Yeah.
But one time I was held up. And as I got held up, somebody came and hit me in the ribs.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I couldn't breathe. The feeling is horrible.
Yeah, Paul. It's when you get in the head, you get buzzed. You get dazed. Yes, it hurts, obviously. But you can move around. You could still bob and weave and stuff. But when you get with the body shot, you're just, all you want to do is just breathe, and you're gasping for air.
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea. So many times, as a few times.
Well, try it on you right now, Paul. Stand over here.
I'll stand over here.
Paul Roberts, the producer, is going to stand here.
For the show, I'll do it.
And Alexis is going to demonstrate a body shot on him.
Because I see these guys just, you know, hitting the body, and it seems like a shorter punch.
Oh, man.
And I think, why are they wasting the time? Just, you know, hit the guy in the head there.
Hit the guy in the head. No, body shots are brutal. All you want to do is just breathe, and you get paralyzed when you get hit by one.
We're coming now, down to the end here, too.
I know. I got to. I know, Paul. I got to ask the last question, not you.
Well, I'll give you the last question. No. I'm going to throw in two questions for us amateurs here. What should we look for in boxing? Because I don't even know what my son-in-law is.
Oh, that's a whole training session,
but
Paul.
I mean, because it's such a flurry of activity, and I don't know when a good hit or a bad hit. I just see that somebody got a hit. Did he block it? I don't know how to get better at watching a fight. I don't know what I'm looking at, other than the guy goes down or he doesn't go down. That's obvious.
What do you want to look for? It just depends. I mean, for me, what I like looking at is their balance, how well they pace.
I would never think of that.
Yeah, how well they place their shots, if they're not getting off balance where their legs are like shrinking, or they're not slipping. I mean, they're not falling. They're not tripping over their feet. I love to pay attention to stuff like
balance.
That.
Yeah, I would never look at that. Interesting. Yeah.
Okay. Now, Paul, we can't give too much of the secrets away here.
I know. And I got one other thing. He's got it to give me one little hint. So when I go see my son-in-law, who thinks he's a big, tough guy, loves fighting, thinks I'm an old
Paul,
fogey.
Paul's taking over my interview, man.
I want to know a little.
Paul's a huge boxing fighter.
Little quick move I can throw on him here, and he'll go, wow, okay, the old man's got something here.
Yeah, I'll teach you something afterwards.
Okay, good.
He's going to give him the insights. My last question.
I don't want to hurt him. I just want to wake up. You know?
My last question to Alexis is, what's next? What would you like? What's important to you, man? What's next?
There's so much possibilities that I could do. Really just going to... What I want next is just to fight for world championship. That's the main thing. I want to be Santa Ana's more first world champion. My brother's very close to becoming a world champion as well. There's no rush or anything like that. But yeah, that's what I want. I just want to be a world champion to set my set in stone to be an accomplished boxer. And just something... It's been a dream of mine ever since I was a little kid, to lace up the pair of gloves. But there's so many options that I could go down, but fighting for world championship would be the biggest one.
First and foremost, I want to thank you for being such a great role model to young kids in our community. I know you've been at several events for years of ours, and I know my son met you, and you even signed a boxing glove for him, and he took pictures with us. And I just want to thank you for continuing to be such a great young man in the community as far as a role model.
Yeah.
You know, that's important, being from Santa Ana, having great role models like you.
Yeah, that's something I definitely want to be, and I feel that God put me on this earth to, whether it's to be a world champion or to be just an inspiration, someone that can leave like an impact on someone. I feel that's what I was born here to do, and it's been very natural for me to give feedback or just give advice to the kids coming up, because really I was just like them. Any kid coming up right now was just in their shoes, where I didn't see myself becoming a boxer. I didn't see myself winning this. I didn't see myself fighting in front of hundreds of thousands of people.
You didn't see yourself getting off the couch apparently for a while here. That's kids fall into that, particularly gamers and
stuff. There's so much stuff nowadays. Like I said, there's so much social media, so much video games, so much stuff to be non-athletic and really have no drive. And I know for me as a kid, I never had drive going. I never had motivation or hunger to be something. And that's something I just want to give back to the kids, just to tell them anyone can do it as long as you believe in yourself. And a question you can ask, what would I tell kids in the stands earlier? I would look at a kid and tell them, as long as you believe in yourself and never get discouraged and just keep moving forward, because the road's not like this or like this. The road's like this.
Yep.
Back down, and then it'll slightly go up. As long as you keep believing in yourself, you put in the work, and just keep moving forward through the good, through the bad, through whatever. Keep moving forward, and I promise you'll get where you want to get.
Perfect example is, you know, you went and beat an undefeated fighter to win this beautiful belt. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Alexis Rocha, WBO, NABO champion, 25 wins, only 2 losses, 16 by KO. We wish you all the best. Again, anyone listening out there, please continue to support TKO Boxing.
And is there a website or anything if they want to learn more about you, follow your career, maybe sponsor you? We got a lot of business types listening to these shows here.
Yeah, whatever you guys want to, if you guys want to just keep check on me and just keep
where do they go?
Taps on me. You can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, at AlexisRocha777.
Yes, and let's more of you sponsor. Let's sponsor Alexis. Let's support him. He's a hometown hero. And we wish you all the best,
appreciate
all the luck,
that.
And we'll continue to follow you and
thank
support you,
you
on all your pay-per-view. And we hope to see you again sometime on the show. And again, thank you for being such a great young man in our community.
Thank you. No, I appreciate you guys having me. Let's do it again soon.
All right, Alexis. Have a good one, brother. Thank you. Take it away, Mr. Paul Roberts.
There you have it. One more reason to tune in each and every time to meet our community, the Hispanic business community here in Orange County. To hear more stories like this, just tune in to Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine's Beale Applied Innovation Center.